chapter 2. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 21 down to verse 35. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, that is the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Well, I was brought here this morning by the verse which is very remarkable, which is verse 26, where it says of this man, Simeon, that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And what I'd like to speak on this morning is on, from this verse, on the theme of waiting for the coming of Christ. And I trust you'll see where I'm drawing this from here, because Simeon was someone very unique, and that prophecy in verse 26, in short, said to Simeon, you will not die until you have seen with your eyes the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this remarkable story that's written here. But before I go there, let me just explain where we are in context, because when you're coming cold into this account in Luke 2, you can sort of just focus on this one thing, but forget everything that's gone on around it that is just remarkable. And I think as we read this account, it's dripping down with wonder and excitement about how everything is coming together perfectly and all to point towards this child, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we began this reading in verse 21, it says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Throughout this period, there's this remarkable foretelling and commandment. Do you see that even that little phrase? Before he was conceived in the womb, the angel said he's to be called Jesus. And for those who aren't familiar with this, you may remember when the angel Gabriel went to Mary, and she was a virgin, she was engaged to be married but wasn't yet married, and she's told by the angel Gabriel that you will conceive a son and you are to call his name Jesus, and he will be the King of the Jews. And in fact, if you read through what he's saying he will be God's son. And Mary says, but how is that possible? I'm not yet married and I've not yet known a man. And the angel tells her that the Holy Ghost will come upon you and that which is born in your womb will be born of God. And so there was this remarkable foretelling. Her cousin Elizabeth, who was barren 6 months before, gives birth or conceives John the Baptist, who is filled with the Holy Ghost from her mother's womb. And the role of John the Baptist was to prepare, was to go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. He was, as it were, a final great prophet before Christ would come. And then at the beginning of the chapter, you have this great occasion where the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, gives a command that the whole world is to be taxed. And I know these are things we normally look at Christmas when we read the story of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were astonishing times. And then if you remember when he's born, that there are shepherds keeping their flocks on the hills, and a great host of angels tell them to go to Bethlehem to go and see Christ who's born there. And then the last sign, as it were, is then these wise men who come from the east to worship the one who's born King of the Jews. And do you remember the star led them to Jerusalem, and they ask Herod, saying, "Where is the King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. We've seen his star." And they look to the Bible to give them the answer. Go to Bethlehem. That's where he'll be born. And as it were, to confirm that, the star then leads them and then stops over the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is born. And they find there this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a stable with the animals. And that is God. And they fall down on their faces and they worship him. Do you see all these things coming together? And Simeon is now on the eighth day, which it refers to in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. What that means is that 8 days after he was born, in the law of Moses, the firstborn of any family was to be taken to the temple of God and a sacrifice offered. So the Lord Jesus Christ at this point, if you allow me to say this, was 8 days old. He'd been taken there to circumcise. And that was the day where his parents named him and called him Jesus, which of course means Saviour. It is literally what the name Jesus means, because he will save his people from their sins. The perfect day when Simeon comes into the temple. And this is the context where we get to with Simeon, where he picks up the child in his arms and blesses God. It's just after all these things have happened, and he is, as it were, is the next in the line of great witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just before we go on, may I just say this about one thing. When Luke writes the Gospel, or when I should say the Holy Spirit writes the Gospel of Luke, one of the reasons he gives is that we might know the certainty of the things which we've believed. And it's good just to be reminded of this, because our faith is of such importance. It's by faith that anyone will go to heaven. That is believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is true. And these accounts just remind us of not the possibility that this is true, or the hope that this might be true, but the certainty that this is true. We're not following idle tales that people have cunningly devised and made up, but the purpose of recording this proclamation by the angel, the miraculous birth, the decree of the Romans working out the prophecy of God, the arrival of the shepherds, the arrival of the wise men, not even from Israel, but from the Middle East, coming to worship him. Simeon in the temple on the eighth day. They're all written that we might know the certainty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust we're not in that position of wavering in our minds concerning faith, where we're not in a position where we think, well, it might be true that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I take great courage from this, that God doesn't want us to be of doubtful minds. It's a terrible thing to have doubt concerning the gospel. When I was a younger Christian, I will confess to you that I did for quite a while. I was plagued by that for a couple of years. Just whether, was it true? Is it really true? Is it really true that I am a Christian? It's very unstabilizing. It's not what the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to know the certainty of those things which we have believed. And may we take heart of that, first of all, this morning, that God is behind this. This is not something that mankind has devised, but this is true and this is right. It is certain that God became a man in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what follows from that as well is, of course, that our sin has been paid for. Do you feel the burden of sin this morning and a need to be forgiven? Maybe there's something you've done in your mind that pierces your conscience. The only solution to that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so wonderful that it is true. We can all be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's just by way of introduction to set the context to where we are. I want us to look at this morning. And so I want us to turn to this witness, Simeon, the one whom it says had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In fact, I have to read it properly. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that is the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And there are a couple of things I just want to draw out about Simeon, which I think are of such importance to us as people in this generation and in all generations now. And that was Simeon's singular focus. It's incredible, really, that Simeon was one who was, it says in verse 25, the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. There were really seismic, huge events going on in the world at that time. If you go to the British Museum, as we took a trip there last week from the church, and we had a Bible talk on archaeology. And I'm not saying you need to, you can learn all you need to from the Bible. But it's very interesting to see about Caesar Augustus. He was the one who's written about in chapter 2, who gave the decree that all the world was to be taxed. And that phrase, the world, is very significant because Caesar Augustus was one of the greatest Roman emperors. The kingdom of Rome at that time was a mighty empire that stretched so, so far. And so when it says that he gave a command that all the world was to be taxed, it was a phenomenal command. And you might think that Simeon would have been right at the center of politics and interested in those things that are going on and the history and the oppression of Israel, you might also say, because Israel was a conquered nation. But no, instead, we see that Simeon was one that was just and devout. This is verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And this is the first thing I'd just like to draw out this morning, the singular focus of Simeon. There was an extent to which he was disinterested in the affairs of this world. He had a singular focus. His heart was fixed on one thing, and that was on the kingdom of God. As a result, the scripture records that it led to an attitude of life. He was just and devout. Now, just is the same word that we might elsewhere translate as righteous. It means that his whole manner of life before God was one that was pleasing before him. He was very careful how he lived. He was careful not to sin. And it would have been so easy, I guess, in the Roman Empire, when there would have been every excuse to say, well, I'm going to live like the Romans. Have you heard the phrase, when in Rome, be like the Romans? I've slightly misphrased that. But the point is, if you're in Rome, live like the Romans. Simeon, in effect, lived in the Roman Empire. But he did not do that. He was just, he was righteous in his life. You might say he was a man who was holy in his lifestyle, and wonderfully, he was devout Do you understand what that word means? You might just say he was devoted. He was dedicated to the Lord and to his kingdom. And what was he just and devout for? It says, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I guess in his heart was that division, in that he had a great desire for Israel to be comforted, for an end of their affliction. And he knew that the scriptures talked about that though Israel would be greatly oppressed due to their sin, yet God said in Isaiah 40, comfort ye, my people. Tell them their warfare is accomplished. And what warfare is he talking about? It is their sin, that their sin would be punished in the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and dwell amongst them. And so Simeon would have seen the oppression of Israel, read the scriptures, and known that God had a solution coming. He didn't know when it would be, but he knew that God was going to intervene. And as a result, he lived a just and devout life. You might say he was rather like Zacharias and Elizabeth, who earlier in Luke's gospel are both described as being righteous before God. And remember, that's the same word as just. So they were just before God, just the same way that Simeon was. And it expanded a bit more and says they are walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. What an example they were. Despite all that was going on, they were waiting for the consolation of Israel and living holy and just life. And the second thing I might say, therefore, is that they had great faith before God as well. You might have given up despair, and isn't it one of the things that can happen is that people's faith can be rocked by their circumstances. They can suddenly say, well, how can God be true when these things are going on in the world? And they look with their physical eyes and they see the way the world is and they say, well, it can't be true what God has said. Israel, in many respects, couldn't have been at a lower ebb than it was at that time. They were ruled over by the Emperor of Rome, one whom was very blasphemous in his approach, where he called himself the Emperor. The Roman Emperor almost made themselves as gods, and it was a very blasphemous and a very violent and wicked denomination. And outwardly, everything would have appeared to be far from God putting an end to the tribulation of Israel. But Simeon, he wasn't moved by this. He remains just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He believed what God said to be true, that despite the way it appeared with his seeing eye, God had spoken, and therefore it would be. And brethren, I think the reason why this is relevant to us is that we are in a way in a similar position to Simeon for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that God has promised, he has said that he in fact has appointed a day in which the Lord Jesus Christ will return. It's not that he's yet to decide when it will be, but he has already decided the very day and the very hour when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And isn't that a wonderful prospect, that it is appointed? But outwardly, we might look around and think, but I don't see it. Things are continuing, as it were, as they were from the beginning. And in fact, things seem to be getting worse rather than better. It would appear that the world is moving away from God rather than towards God. Therefore, is his word true? And what that leads to is a slip in our lifestyle as well. Because if we begin to say in our hearts, well, the Lord has delayed his coming, really what we mean by that is the Lord is not going to come back, his word isn't true, what does that lead to? It leads to a slip in our life. You see, faith and our works really go hand in hand. That when we believe God and his words, it will lead us to a life that is holy and just, as we wait, that is righteous and devout, as we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon was strong in faith, believing what God had said more than what he saw with his own eyes. And may I make one other application of that? Isn't that a very simple application as well, where we go through various trials in our life, where, as if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, afflictions might arise. And it's exactly the same position that we have to settle our heart, that I will believe God's words, that he disciplines us like a loving father, that we might be partakers in his righteousness. And I will believe his word to be true, that this is good and right, though I can't now see the end of it and the way it is working out. I will believe that his word is true. And this is what Simeon was like, a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. And look at this, the third element of his life. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, one of the things of the wonder of being God's people is that, why do we separate ourselves to God? Is it that we might just only deny ourselves and have no life, that we might just be, as it were, a vacuum? No, it's to separate ourselves that we might know God and walk with him. The reason why we come out from those things that spoil us is not just to be separate and live in the wilderness on our own, but it is that we might separate ourselves from those things that displease God, that we might walk with God. Isn't that what the book of Corinthians says, where he says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father to them. You see that the order that he puts there? Come out from those things, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father. We will know God as our heavenly father. And Simeon had the Holy Spirit upon him. He knew God. And what a thing a person full of the Holy Spirit can do. Isn't this really what we need in our land at this time? Not necessarily politicians and thinkers. I say we do need those. We are to pray for them. But what a thing a holy person full of the Holy Spirit. What things can be done through those people? And look how it proceeds on. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And what a reasonably unique and remarkable revelation was given to him. That not only was he waiting and full of the Holy Spirit, but God somehow revealed to him by his Spirit that Simeon himself would not die until he had actually seen Emmanuel, God with us. We could speculate that Simeon was an old man at that time. He may well have been. He might have been waiting for a long time, or he might have been just a young man. But either way, God told him that in his lifetime, he would see the Lord Jesus Christ with his eyes. And he came, in verse 27, by the Spirit into the temple on that very day that Christ was brought in to be dedicated to God. Remember what I said? On the eighth day after he was born, Simeon came into the temple. And what is equally miraculous is that when his parents brought him in, Simeon knew which baby it was as well. And he took him up in his arms in verse 28 and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Do you remember what Jesus means? Saviour. Mine eyes have seen Jesus, the Saviour. Your salvation. He knew in the spirit that this baby here who was brought in was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the eighth day, just that hour when they brought him into the temple. Simeon was there in the Holy Spirit, took him up in his arms and blessed God. This is the life of Simeon. And it's, as it were, another bit of evidence for who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Who told Simeon that that baby there was called Jesus and was the Son of God? I'm slightly speculating, as not all the details are written here, but wasn't it God that revealed it to him, that he would not die before he saw him? Wasn't it God that led him in on that eighth day to see the Lord Jesus Christ? And was it not God that led him to then speak the word of prophecy that he then spoke and says in verse 34, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, and yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Wasn't he speaking in the Holy Spirit then as he said that to Mary and to all those who attended, and to us as well? God saw this man's righteousness and his devotion, and he revealed it to him, and he brought him in that perfect timing to be there just as Christ came in then. So just to draw this to a conclusion and to say a few things, well, what's the relevance of this? If you recall, I called this talk of waiting for the coming of Christ. And unlike Simeon, we're not going to be told the day or the hour when Christ is to return. Do you remember Simeon was told, go to the temple now? And he went there and Christ came in. He knew, as it were, the day, and he knew the hour when Christ would come. And we may not know if Christ's return will even be in our lifetime. It might well be in our lifetime. But isn't Simeon an example of the Christian who is ready? Of a soul who is ready for the return of Christ? And isn't the first thing that we might say that one of the ways to be ready for Christ's return is, of course, firstly and chiefly, to have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour? There's no other way to be ready than now to have already received him in our hearts. So when he returns not only as our Lord, but as our God and as our Saviour, where we have bowed the knee to him now and in this life. And isn't that the first and most important way that we'll be ready? To believe all that the Bible writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we are still in a position where we are unsure, where our mind is not yet made up. The very good bit of advice that I was given was to be honest with God. Don't pretend that you're full of faith and sure about these things, but rather confess to God if you're not sure and say to him, Lord, I'm unsure. Would you reveal it to me? Would you give me grace to believe? And surely he will. But the second thing is that once we have bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and we have that witness in our heart that we're forgiven of all our sins, and that peace with God which comes from that is the way of waiting for his return. That righteous and devout life, that detachment from the things of this world, whereby we're not so concerned by all the things that might preoccupy us, but we're singular in one thing. We're waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it leads us to live a life that is righteous and devout. So we may not know, we will not know exactly when Christ is going to return. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ was specific, explicit to his disciples in saying, no one knows the day nor the hour, not the angels in heaven, but only the Father. So we will not know the day or the hour, but Christ's return will be sudden. It will be a sudden return when we're not expecting it. But in our hearts, we are to be righteous and devout and singular in our focus. There's a lovely holiness that comes that it shows that our hearts are ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate that people have different doctrinal views about the timing and the manner that Christ will come, and I'm not trying to enter into that, but all I'm talking about is a heart that is fixed, a heart that is singular, a life that is holy to God, just and devout. And you can sure be sure as well that that will be a happy person. I don't know if you've yet learnt the secret of contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. But it's also that Christ is our all in all. There's no one happier in this world than a Christian who is fully yielded to the will of God. There's no one who has greater utility in this world. And it might be that Christ may not choose to use us for any great works. And you might say that all that Simeon, the one role that Simeon was to do, was to bear brief witness. Maybe this took 20 minutes, this whole incident. His life of holiness was to bear witness to these words and these verses in the scripture. That was the work that God had given him to do. But you can be sure of this, that his life was so useful, so full of contentment and joy in the Holy Ghost. And isn't that what the Lord describes the kingdom of God of being, of righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Ghost? There's no one happier, no one more useful in the world than such Christians. And the last thing I want to say by way of application from Simeon, and to take his example and to lead it on into the way that we are to be. Doesn't the Spirit of God within a person point to the Lord Jesus Christ? As Simeon had the Holy Spirit within him, it led to witness and to testify to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what a Christian who is waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ will be. They won't be ones who are barricaded in their rooms. Far from it. They will be out there on the highways, in the streets, witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Spirit that is in them will be crying to all people and saying, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true. The one who is written in the scriptures is indeed the Son of God. And the Spirit that is within us not only bears witness to ourselves that we are the children of God, but also to others around us. There's that compulsion that we can but speak those things which we have seen and heard. And what is one of the attributes of those who are waiting for the coming of Christ? It's not that they are waiting around. No, they are active in the harvest fields. The book of Revelation finishes in chapter 22 and verse 17. And I think it's so right to look there to finish off with this morning, because the book of Revelation, of course, is a hard book, and many things maybe can't be understood until they take place. And there's a lot of revelation of all the tribulation and the false teaching and the deception of the enemy that comes there. And you might think, well, let's again barricade ourselves in. But no, the book finishes in verse 17 of chapter 22 with this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Do you see that threefold invitation? The Spirit and the bride saying, come. Him that heareth, if you hear that call and you come, now tell others, come to Christ, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. The threefold invitation to come, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And isn't that one of the realities of those who are waiting for Christ? They are the bride of Christ. They are waiting for that wonderful day when Christ will come through the clouds with the glory of his Father and with the holy angels, and they will meet him in the air, and there will be an end to all these things and the beginning of the new creation, which will endure forever, where there will be no more sorrow or sadness or sickness or dying, but those former things will have gone. That's the bride waiting for that day. But while they're waiting, the Spirit within them cries, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and take us home. But not only that, but they call to others, to those who are thirsty, who are desperately parched, who need to drink of the water of life. And they say to them, come freely to Christ. Come and drink. And wasn't this just the Spirit that was upon Simeon? That it didn't lead him to know God privately. but it led him to be bold in his testimony. And imagine the scene in the temple. This man, Simeon, picking up this baby and saying, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And he blessed them and said unto Mary and his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." What a word he spoke. That was the Spirit of God within him, testifying to those things. Well, back in Luke and chapter 2, and drawing to a close here, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I wonder if he would have expected it when he was first told that, whether he would have conceived there would have been a little baby that he would see that would be the Lord's Christ. I wonder if in his natural mind he might have thought that it would be a great king coming into the temple of God and his glory. But the Spirit instead revealed to him, no, it's this baby Jesus who will save you from his sins. And the Lord's words did not fail, but was perfectly fulfilled in every detail and in every perfection. Brethren, it will be the same with the second coming, with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not be able to work it out how it will be. There are many details which are beyond us, which are not yet revealed to us, which we will maybe understand as they come into being. But be sure of one thing. As the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was certain and true and in every way fulfilled, so the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will be in every way. Are we building our lives on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is sure and he is certain. Well, may we live righteous and devout lives and be those who are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.